100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lauren Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at One A Day Until the Day I Die.com. I'm not dead yet. Let's have some more stories. Heck, let's have some coffee. Just got the laundry started, so I better put in my little computer handheld thingy. Oh, let's see. Swipe the thing, and the timers, and the 20 minutes. There we go. So what are we going to do until then? How about we do some stories? 100-word stories on the topic of run. A lot of you have sent in stories this week, so let's go ahead and get right to them. First up, it's, wait, Norval Joe, he's first. Wow, he must have been really inspired. Or the list of topics made it easy for him to get these done in advance. Anyway, how about we do a little bit of Norval Joe dance? That's right, park your car, get out, and do the Norval Joe. Raise your hands in the air like you care. I will. Wait, I can't reach the mouse now. How am I going to load the next track? With my toes.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 418 with a prompt of run. I'm a little bit early this week. In fact, I'm a whole week early. This is Saturday night, because I'm going to be gone all next week at the LDS Story Makers Conference. So yes, it's going to be me with like 600 Mormon women who all write about teenage girls, and it should be fun. Hopefully I'm going to run into Brandon Sanderson again and get him to sign a book. But here's my story. To become a truly well-rounded snob, most of the self-professed initiates agree. The running of the bulls in Pamplona, Spain is essential. Attending the Metropolitan Opera, claiming relationship to a signer of the Declaration of Independence, or to the owner of a 1920s speakeasy are also good. Riding a BMW motorcycle, eating only foods with names unpronounceable in English, and reading LGBTQ romances written in Chinese by Tibetan monks will work in a pinch. If you can't get to Spain to run with the bulls, an acceptable substitute is to run with the wiener dogs in Burbank, California. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Norval Joe, and I hope you had a great time there at the conference, especially when you run with the wiener dogs. You trip a lot. I think running with the wiener dogs would be a lot more dangerous than running with bulls, because with bulls, you can outrun them. Wiener dogs are fast, and they're nippy. They like to bite ankles. You know, like me. The less said about that, the better. That's in the settlement. How about instead we move on to John Musico? He's got something for us. I say that every time, don't I? Yes, he has something. No, he doesn't have anything for us. No, not a thing. This is your imagination at work. You are tripping over wiener dogs.
Run by John Musico. Seems like every expression using the word run makes no sense. Run an errand, running late, run its course. When you run an errand, who says you're rushing? Further, typically you're driving. You're not even on foot. Running late. If you really were running, you wouldn't be late at all. Run its course. This means to be patient for a sickness that seems endless. Implicitly, the pace is not fast, so the pace is far from running here as well. Not that I've done so rapidly, but I've been running off at the mouth. Gotta run, but I'll be walking.
Walking is good. Biking is bad. Trust me on this. Thank you, John Musico. It's great to hear from you. It's great to hear from all of you. I love hearing from all of you. It is more than a delight. It is five delights. Have you ever gotten a dish at a Chinese restaurant that's like Fappy Family or Five Delights or Seven Spices? There's always one that disagrees with you, the black sheep of the family, the thing that sticks in your craw. Thankfully, I had my craw removed, so nothing sticks in it anymore. Someone cut it out and stuck it in the trash. Here's something you won't stick in the trash. Here's something you will pin to your refrigerator. It's Jeffrey's story. If you don't have a refrigerator, one will be provided for you.
Hello, it's Jeffrey Fisher, here for week 418 on the topic of run. Lawrence, I'm sorry I didn't have any chicken soup for you last week. I hope you're feeling better. I don't have any chicken soup for you this week either, but I do have a couple of stories, and so I hope that helps in some small regard. My first story is called Experience. Bob worked his way up the corporate ladder for 30 years, until he finally got his shot to run the bank. Those were the happiest 5 years of his life, before he ran the bank into the ground. The government orchestrated an orderly liquidation of the remaining assets, and Bob became unemployed. The business world being what it is, a second bank hired Bob as its CEO, and, sure enough, he ran that one into bankruptcy as well. When the third bank hired Bob, the board defended its decision on the grounds that Bob had experience. I don't think I have a cold, but certainly it's allergy season around here, and I'm definitely feeling the effects of that. I'm sure everybody can hear it in my voice. Ah, well. My second story is called Bygone Days. The neighborhood was seedy, even a little scary during daylight hours. Rundown porches on rundown houses provided shade for unemployed men to sit and drink beer. Narrow alleyways provided cover for violence and the drug trade after dark. Sam walked the streets nervously, looking for his father, who had gone missing from the nursing home. Years ago, when his father lived here with his young family, the houses were well kept, the men were employed, and crime was rare. This bygone age was what his father, now frail and suffering from dementia, remembered as his neighborhood, his house. Sam hoped he found his father before darkness fell. Well, that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week with more stories.
But no chicken soup, right? Ooh, maybe I should make the topic chicken soup. Ooh, no. No, we already have a topic ready for next week. You'll have to look in the show notes at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com to see what the next topic is. Or you can listen to all these stories and enjoy them. And then I'll mention it in passing. I'll also say thank you, Jeffrey, even though you didn't have chicken soup waiting for me. I'll forgive you eventually. Oh, wait, here's Jeff. Oh, I won't forgive you at all. Instead, I will throw all my love to Jeff. All of it, holding none in reserve, emptying out all my bank accounts, all my investment accounts, my retirement accounts, my offshore illegal accounts, full of love. Here's Jeff.
Hi there, this is Jeff Hema, and here's my story on the topic run. A gargantuan stubbornness. She likes chick flicks, and I didn't want a run-of-the-mill movie, so we had to do a toss-up. We finally settled on Avengers, a collection of superheroes who are going to save the planet Earth from an alien outbreak. I could feel her bad vibes. I let her choose the day and the time, and kept my mouth shut because I didn't want her to blow up at me. We got there on Thursday an hour earlier. Why that early? Because she was afraid of a long line. If only she could listen to me once in a while. That's it for me. I have a page on Facebook called Twisted Stories. I hope you will give us a like. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Jeff. And for those of you looking for a link to his Twisted Stories, it's up in the show notes. Yes, I searched it. I liked it. And I copied the URL and I put it in the show notes. Cool, huh? We can do this internet linking thing stuff. It's awesome. I'm sure that, you know, Zuckerberg is going to say, put on your Oculus Rift and you can see it in 3D immersively. Whatever, fucking geek. Oh, sorry. How about we thank Jeff Hema? Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we move on to Richard. He's got stories, too. He'll probably say he's sick. He caught it from me. No, I thought the Astros were going to lose yesterday. And somehow they held on, even though that jerk let three runs by. That jerk with the glove and the ball. Oh, here's Richard.
Good morning. This week, I'm trying out a headset for the first time, so it will either sound wonderful or I'll sound just the same as usual, only a little bit clearer. At least I hope so. First story is a George story, part 54, On the Run. Emily had a point. Nothing about his experiences so far suggested in any way that the world had succumbed to a zombie apocalypse. He pondered recent events, allowing them to run through his mind one after the other, realizing that, apart from the strange and inexplicable catastrophe that seemed to have crippled society, there was little else he'd experienced that couldn't be accounted for by fear or desperation. The realization hit him that he'd been on the run, but for no apparent reason, and from no apparent threat. It was high time to get a grip, and to stop running. Today's second story is called Winner. I've never been the sporty kind. Hardly surprising considering the affliction I've had to cope with all my life. As a school kid, my teachers went to great lengths to be inclusive, but I was always hopeless at most proper sports. It was never going to work out, except for once a year, on school sports day. As expected, I was too uncoordinated to win the egg and spoon, and far too awkward to do well in the sack race. But when it came to the three-legged race, I'd win every time. And I didn't even need a partner. Here's one for you called Curtain Call. Jealousy is a terrible thing. Norman Franklin's King Lear is a triumph, critics proclaimed. This production will run and run. Good news for the show and Franklin, but not so great for me. It's a pretty rotten job being an understudy anyway, but living in the shadow of one of theatre's greats, it can be unbearable. All that hard work and dedication, only to see somebody else receive the applause? I deserved a break. Last night's death scene was majestic. Franklin slumped theatrically over Cordelia's body as the curtain fell. Only this time, it was me taking the final bow. Here's one more for you. It's called Three Blind Mice. Nursery rhymes are often sanitized versions of horrifying facts. Take Ring a Ring of Roses, for example, a commentary on the Black Death. Few people know that Three Blind Mice See How They Run is a fanciful rendition of a rather appalling lab experiment. There were other candidates, but you can't dress up three cancer-ridden beagles, see how they cough, as anything less palatable. And three lobotomized chimps, see how they gibber, doesn't scan well. As for the farmer's wife cutting off their tails with a carving knife, that was Doreen, the lab technician, and it was a scalpel. That's all I have for you this week. Hope yours is a good one. Goodbye for now.
Thank you, Richard. No experiments were performed on the writers who participated in this week's weekly challenge. I promise you that. Well, okay, I can't promise you that. I don't know what Lizzie does in the dead of night. I don't know what Julie does to Zachman in strange places. And we all know that Danny loves to play mind games with me. With me. And I like it. I like it so much that I will thank Richard while raising my hand in the air. No, wait, the other one. And then I will move on to Cliff and say, hey, what's up? What's happening?
Hello, all. I'd just like to take a moment to thank everyone who listens, and especially the kind folks who post the occasional comment. I truly appreciate all of you. I wanted to mention this because this may be my last submission for a while. Apparently, there is a danger to using your real name on the internet. You see, a few years ago, I parted ways with the Church of the Everlasting Moment, and they've been looking for me ever since. It's my own fault, really. I should have known better than to start a cult. Anyway, I gotta run. I was sitting in a diner eavesdropping on some tough young braggarts. My favorite was the mullet-topped fellow who brawled to preserve a bottle of whiskey. "This guy tried to take it, but I'm a man. I told him I'd kick his ass," he bragged. An elderly man at a nearby table couldn't resist. "Did you win?" "Nah, he beat me up." "Did you at least get to keep the whiskey?" "No, he took it." "Then you a damn fool, boy. A good run beats a bad fight every time." I nearly fell out of my seat laughing. And here's another story with the subject of run. Listen, you've had a good run. People really loved you at first, but these things have a limited lifespan. "But I'm having so much fun," he said. "This is the best gig I've ever had." "Don't worry. Relax for a few years and we'll get you a spot on a sitcom." "I guess. But playing a politician has been the best, even if it was pretty unrealistic." I sent him home with a script for his final performance, The Resignation. I just hope he never realizes that he was a real U.S. congressman for all those seasons. I mean terms. All right, that's it for me. I'll be back someday. Thanks.
Thank you, Cliff. And I'll miss you. Whatever cult you set up, it doesn't matter. If you set up another, I will join. We all will join. Even if it's the Church of the 100-Word Story, or the Latter Day Get Your Laundry Done, or whatever you call it, we will join and we will follow you. We won't just drink the Kool-Aid. We will drink water out of the toilet. We will drink water from the sewer. We will even, okay, we'll even drink Sunny Delight. Oh my God, that stuff is awful. But we will drink it if you ask us, because we care and we love you. And now we miss you. I hope this is a hoax. I hope you're just pulling our leg. No, the other one. No, that's not a leg. And I hope you hurry back. Although you can take your time if you need it. I mean, you know, if you run out of ideas, maybe it's the fact that next week's topic scares you. Don't be scared. But as long as you're still expressing and living and breathing and experiencing life and enjoying and fighting evil, I said fighting evil, not fighting with evil, then it's okay. When people need to take a break, it's all right. Move on to other things. Play chess. Build a boat. topple foreign regimes. And if you're in another country, the United States counts as a foreign regime. That's okay. It's science. I don't have anything else to say. Except, here's Muncie. Maybe he will take our minds off of the sorrow that is Cliff's parting.
Greetings, roses. By the time you hear this, I'll be finishing my time at Glorious Calgary Expo, meeting Bruce Campbell, dressing like the Doctor, and in general enjoying adventures. Because who doesn't like adventure? I like adventure. But that's neither here nor there, because in this moment, it's story time. You Can't Run From Your Problems, by Christopher Monroe. Run as hard as you want, you'll never escape your problems. Unless we're talking health problems, in which case cardio would do you good, and I heartily recommend you do take up running. You'll lose weight, feel better, and have more energy going into your day. But other than that, your problems can't be escaped, and there's no use running away. Unless your problem is an angry dude with a knife or a pack of hungry wolves, in which case, run! In retrospect, you can't run from your problems is pretty terrible advice now that I think about it. Huh. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at MunzeeMunzee. That's it for me this week, roses. And that's it for you as well. For next week, you shall no longer be my roses. But worry not, because like Seal himself, you will always be close to my heart, and I shall never forget these moments in which you were roses I kissed on the grave. Seal, sing us out.
Thank goodness that's over. I mean, thank you, Muncie. Always thank people correctly. Don't let the voices get control. Whew. Oh, I've got only a few minutes to go before I need to move all of my wet stuff into the large metal boxes which dry it. The problem is I was a little late getting to the laundry this morning, and everyone else had the same idea. No, we're not racked and stacked and waiting, but the thing is, there are a lot less dryers than there are washers, and unfortunately, the washers have a shorter cycle than the dryers, therefore making a bottleneck. Did anyone think this through? No. And when the little coin thingy, the credit card thingy last week, was messed up, that's one big bottleneck. Let me tell you what I'd like to do with that bottle. What? No, I'm going to return it for the deposit. What were you thinking? I don't know. Anyway, how about we move on to Chelsea before I say something truly insane? What? Oh. Okay. All right, hold on. I'm going to go and click in. Okay, here's Chelsea. I hope you're ready for her. I sort of am. Hold on. Let me do some stretching here. Just there. And okay, all ready.
Run by Chelsea. There are some things in life that you should run from. A terrible job, stupid ex, your thesis advisor when you're way behind. There are things you should never run from. Wild animals and rabid dogs, back away slowly and keep eye contact. And there are things that you should run towards. A child's outstretched arms, the hands of a long-lost friend, the waiting embrace of a lover. Life is full of all kinds of running. For my money, run towards the good things and forget about the rest. You'll live a longer, happier life.
A long, happy life to you, Chelsea. May you run long. Long may you run. Long may you run. Long may you run. I don't do it as well as that singer dude. But thank you, Chelsea. You make everything worthwhile. It's worthwhile? How much is a while? I'm not sure. Maybe we need to ask Serendipity then. Serendipity, what is a while?
Don't play with your food. Every mealtime, my mother uttered that phrase. It's a phase most of us grow out of eventually. Everyone, except me. You see, I still play with my food, even as an adult. It's not as much fun if I treat it seriously. And although others might find it offensive, strange or childish, I take no notice of them. I still play with my food. Always will. After all, it's not about the eating. It's all about the thrill of the chase. And I do like to see my victims run before I tire into them.
If only I were food, we could play together under the sun, in the glowing, glorious sun. Thank you, Serendipity. You know who else shines light into my life? It's Julie. But she doesn't shine light in my life like that You Light Up My Life song that was written by some evil cat couching some scumbag. No, this is better. Now, people say Debbie Boone wrote it about God. No, it was written by some songwriter dude who turned out to be a jerk. Well, the jerk's on you, buddy. What was it on? Was it on, Snap Judgment? If you listen to the latest that was on the feed, not the latest show, but the latest show on the feed, they do reruns now and then. But that's a good podcast. I like it. It's one of those NPR ones that's good, as opposed to the mean ones. The mean ones. You know, the mean ones. Oh, I should probably just say, hi, Julie.
Oh, hey, everyone. It's Julie. I don't want to say happy Sunday because I'm recording this on Friday, but this is my 100-word story on the theme of run. But before I begin, well, I'm just going to begin. Here we go.
This is a CBS News special, Earth Day, a question of survival.
Fairmount Park in Philadelphia today is much like a rock music festival as a teach-in on the environment. A few older people, a few blacks, and some of the poor. But mainly white, middle-class young people, as much aroused by the music as by the damage done to the environment by pollution. This is Philadelphia on Earth Day.
Welcome, sulfur dioxide. Hello, carbon monoxide. The air.
Welcome, sulfur dioxide. Hello, carbon monoxide. A song from the worldwide.
And here is my 100-word story. This one's called Earth Day, and it's dedicated to a lady called Holly Maddox, 1947 to 1977. From ashes I came, and to the earth I did not return. You beat the life from me, stuffed me in a steamer trunk, left me to rot in your sun porch. I tried to run, tried to leave, but you were quicker with that ceramic lamp. They still plant trees and sing peace chants. Earth Day. My sulfur stench alarmed our neighbors worse than any exhaust fumes. The police find me, plaid flannel shirt, my mummified hand reaching for a butterfly, for the freedom almost in my grasp. My last and only shot back at you. Charlatan, hypocrite, beast. Well, hey, that was happy. Here, I'll turn this back up again. And hello, sulfur dioxide. Actually, I won't. Anyway, it's Julie. I don't need the shameless plug. I wish everyone a happy weekend, and thanks for listening. Take care.
It's a happy Earth Day. City of brotherly murdering. Thank you, Julie. Ah, It's fun to dig and find where all these wonderful, mass-marketed, shallow, fake holidays we celebrate. You know what always got me about Earth Day, Julie? Well, when I worked for a Disney company, they had these little plastic trinkets that they would send to every employee with a memo on four-color letterhead, each in an individualized envelope, printed through a printer with sticky labels. This thing was to announce the wonders of the corporate commemoration of Earth Day and how we were trying to recycle and trying to do good to the Earth. They said the memo was on recycled paper. The little trinkets were of recycled plastic, but they couldn't be recycled themselves. And the sticky labels on the envelopes made it so that you couldn't recycle the envelopes. Some corporate retard thought this was good. It's not just enough to recycle, but to never use what's unnecessary. They could have just sent an email without the plastic trinket. When McDonald's says their Happy Meal toys are recyclable, look on them, see if those toys can be recycled again, and what about the waste of energy to create them? How stupid are we as a species? Hint, very. That's why this podcast is available in electronic form, and hopefully the energy used to power it isn't wasteful. Okay, let's move on to Dionysus. You know, I think that Dionysus clothes makes the man, and clothes makes the Dionysus write two stories. Yes, he wrote two. He was inspired. Next time he will write four, then eight, then 16, and pretty soon by the time we reach the end of the chessboard, he will walk out with all the treasury. What a brilliant man who learns from history. Here is Dionysus.
Hi, this is Dionysus Close with a 100-word story about running that I call Stillness. Since one must be perfectly still, with a stillness only I, perhaps, since the moment I stopped and put down my feet in the snow on this shelf of ice, alone these centuries, if it is centuries, time has very little meaning to one with my millennial stillness. I'm sure I am the only one, in which case how could you possibly grasp what? To grasp is to recollect, and to recollect is to hope, and hope suggests time, which is the point, as you must have grasped. Unlike myself in this river of ice that goes on flowing despite everything, who hope to stop?
Hey, get your ass back here. You've got more stories.
Hi, this is Dionysus Close with another 100-word story about running. I call this one Still Running. We are right under the ridge, me and Crazy Davy. You remember that song. Except you wouldn't say Davy is here at the moment, since a part of him is running down the slope that brought us here. He's not conscious anyway, so there's that. Never will be. While I am, but my mind isn't sitting here either. I'm not running like that part of him to a terminal where people are staring at a beer, waiting, already running to catch that time when it was, though even I'm only running there now, sitting now, when I saw this girl.
Thank you, Dionysus. It's good to see you. I see your file. I see your email that it was attached to, but I don't. I can't. No, don't let me see you. No, I'm turning off the monitor. There. And I'm turning off the camera. And I'm turning off the toaster. And I'm turning off the coffee machine. No, I'm not going to turn off the... I had, let's see, this is Grove Cappuccino with caramel. But I gotta do the Hawaiian stuff. I need to wake up. I need to wake up. Wake up. We got a lot of stories this week. A lot of authors, too. A lot of authors with a lot of stories. What? Like Zachman? Sure. He's here. I was worried too. But no, he's here. You can relax now.
Baby, I've been kissed by the seal at the zoo, and I don't know what to do. This is Zach Mann, and I'm a bad rose. With this week's story prompt, run. I'm looking for the race organizers, said the reporter. The hotel attendant answered, oh, that would be that horse's hind end over there. We are not a horse, refuted Charlie. John and I are the center of attention. John said, this is the other half marathon pun run, so named because we're tired of people asking when we run the other half of half marathons. Charlie added, we have worked hard to make the pun run a fun run. Isn't a two-center cosplay hard to run in? Asked the reporter. If John can place, I can really show, replied Charlie.
Thank you, Zach Mann. And you're not a bad rose. You're just miswatered, misfed, not given enough light. If you had all three of those, you'd be the best rose ever. Well, okay, second best. No, wait, third best. Let's talk about it later. Thank you. You know who's a good rose? Lizzie's a good rose. She gets all the light, all the food, all the water, all the fresh, yummy soil. Taste that soil. Isn't it yummy? Isn't it fresh? I thought you'd agree. Here's Lizzie and her story.
He spent his whole life running away from school colleagues, from girlfriends, even from his wife. However, nothing compared to that night when he woke up in a strange bedroom. The evening had been amazing and filled with good conversation and plenty of alcohol. He met a few people from the old days, back when he listened to that song incessantly, Running Wild. Well, the bizarre fire burning the curtains and the furniture did make him run fast. They could never explain what happened, but the time he spent in jail sure cured him of that unflinching need to run. This is my story for this week, dropped by my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. I would never run from you. I might run to you with fish. Lovely, delicious fish. Ooh, I need to go get some fish. Although I'm not going to grill it. The grill just kind of sucks. But I do have some fish in the freezer, I think. I can put it in the oven, oven it, broil it, and have fish. Or that cheap fish stick crap. That's okay, that's still fish, right? It's not going to be fancy stuff like that sea bass. I don't grill that much anymore. I used to a lot, but I don't anymore. I don't. I probably should just hand things off to Tom and see what he comes up with. Tom, fill us in.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and I've got updates. Movement. Jeffrey passes Guy David with 167 stories, making him the eighth monkey. Richard moves ahead of TJ with 164 stories, taking the 11th position. Cliff is one shy from passing TJ. Chris displaces Iron Monkey Zach Mann with 137 stories in a row to become Iron Monkey 5. In a mere 9 weeks, he will displace Tom, thus becoming the fourth Iron Monkey. Spate is in a three-way tie for the 34th position with DJ and Terrence of Never Was, a mere 5 stories from entering the top 10. Both John and Julie enter the top 50 with 21 stories respectively, tied with Chris of Platypus Society for the 47th place, a mere 2 stories behind longtime top 10ers Carrie, Ted, and Rael. Your humble scribe wishes to ask Chelsea's forgiveness. I missed how quickly she moved up the list. She has posted 10 stories and is tied for the 71st place with Catalonia, Catwood, Abernathy, Ross, Gideon, and Miata Stardust. We have 17 active authors, including Danny, a most respectful number. We have a milestone this week. Story average broke through teens to 20.14, double digits. Story total over 6,500, closing in on 1 million words. And tonight I have four, count them, four stories. Story number one, when the fix was in, Benny had had a pretty good run. 10 years as the boss of the Adelson Street Grifters, he never dreamed in a million years the city would actually hire him to run the scam right out of the Department of Parks and Monuments. That had been a pretty good run, too. The perks of respectability lulled Benny into a fat, happy complacency. The money rolled in until the Reform Party took City Hall. Ben swiftly took flight down to Miami. His golden years would have been golden if he had just let the scam go. His luck finally ran out. Story 2, a continuation of a well-defined relationship, Part 46. By the time the reverends reached the doctor, he had quickly made his case to Mrs. Parsons, who in turn laid it out to the women of the Gear Guild. Soon the plan as it stood ran like wildfire through the community. The plan produced pistol-packing parishioners. Getting a fourth-hand account of said plan, the Senator, Baxter, and Sparky gravitated to the porch. Dino, get your butt over here. Looks like we're going to have to get our OK Corral on. Where's Timmy? Asked Mother. Running as if he had seen a ghost, breathless, Timmy said, I got a plan. Story number 3? Grammatically correct. I never met a run-on sentence I didn't like. In spite of the corporal punishment of the good sisters of mercy, I loved the flow and the meandering of a string of words running gently across bleached college-ruled loose-leaf paper. Les Miserables has one that's 824 words. Huck Finn logs in at 236. My friend states a long sentence is a contrived condition unless it unfolds as natural speech. I believe this to be true as a contrapositive. In a word, I'm striving for the unnatural, something to cause the brain itself to take a long internal breath. And the last story, story 4, huffing. The last time I ran, it took 6 weeks for my shoulder to regain 80% functionality. This pain brought a stinging perspective to my life. As a child, I started out running, then biking, then decades of driving. Time in cars vastly outnumbered the time running. My life now runs by a giant academic clock. I stand lecturing, review mountains of paper, meetings piled on top of meetings. I remember running so hard, my heartbeat sounded like a Robert Palmer drum kit. Now, a trip up the driveway will produce the same effect. I hear a distant voice calling, run. And that's it.
Tom, you are the backbone that keeps this Leviathan swimming. Thank you, Tom. Your stories are enlightening, motivating, and... Excuse me. Sorry, I just got choked up with phlegm. I need to stop that. What I do need instead to do is say, you know, it would be a perfect time to hear something from Tura, wouldn't it? Do you agree with me? I hope you agree with me, because guess what's coming up right now? Yep, Tura.
Well, he said, that's a very interesting question, and I need to take a bit of a run-up to it, if you don't mind. Yes, a long run-up, and because of the context, that's so important, don't you think? It's so complicated, and, well, it could be very misleading if you... One might run to all sorts of conclusions, and a conclusion is the place where you stop thinking, as someone said. But actually, I'd have to say that in this case, it's exactly what it looks like. I'm running off with your wife, he said.
Okay. Do you need a few bucks? Oh, thank you, Tura. What? Was that... No, that was... I don't think that was rushed. Not at all. No. No, you're reading me wrong. What? Oh, we have more stories? Okay, hold on. We've got... Oh, we've got something from someone new. From Blue Mayanamoto. Yes, as opposed to red or green or yellow. Blue Mayanamoto. Hi. Did I say that right? So they say, a friend of mine told me about your 100-word challenge in Second Life, and you wanted to try your hand in it. Okay, so they didn't warn you to avoid this. Okay, good. Whew. Whew, that balances out all the folks warning people away from this craziness. I think this is all I require, so what I'm going to do is go ahead and pass things to you, Blue.
Nyx shook her pretty kitty paw and splashed blood all over the white curtains. She licked it clean and purred, quite pleased at the copper aftertaste. "You know," she said, "the guy didn't even have a chance." "Nonsense," I replied, as I pulled my dagger from the base of the dead man's skull. Together, we searched his body and retrieved the lost artifact from his pocket. "I told him to run," I said to Nyx when she collapsed. She looked deathly pale and was struggling to breathe. "I didn't tell you, however, that I had poisoned his blood."
Ha 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 ha! Happy Mother's Day! Wow! That's a way to make an entrance. Thank you, Blue, and please keep coming back. Hopefully this was a good experience for you. Tom will track your monkiness as he tracks us all. All of us. All of our inner monkiness. Ook, ook! Thank you. No, it's cool. When we get new people participating, they try and maybe they stay, maybe they don't. Maybe they move on to longer challenges. I mean, Lizzie has that 500-word snatch thingy she does. Ask her about that. So if 100 isn't enough and you feel like you need 400 more words, talk to her. Or the daily dash is at 6 p.m. or whatever. Does someone collect all these up? No, I'm not going to go down that road again. Because when you collect them all up, then you have to keep them updated. People fight with each other. No, you can collect me up, but I'm not going to organize it. That means I'm going to organize it. So, what else do we have here? Spate, he's someone who came on a few months ago, and now he's here again and again. Isn't that cool? People keep coming back. We do our best to drive them off, but they keep coming back, which shows that they care and that they're creative and they're talented and smart and wonderful and beautiful. So here's Spate.
Hey, it's me, Spate, and I've got a 100-word story I'd like to run past you. This one's called Hash, Part 3. And here it is. Chaplain's eyes were running all around the cell just to avoid looking at the man with no clothes that was beating the crap out of him in poker. Davidson unselfconsciously scratched his testicles. "Chaplain, do you really think that with only 9 days left, God gives a damn if I'm wearing any clothes? He's seen me naked before." Chaplain turned cardinal red, realizing he was about to be had again. Davidson farted and laid down his cards. Full boat. Ladies over deuces. Another 3 cigarettes won from the unlucky chaplain. Davidson slyly smirked. It's been one hell of a run.
It has been one hell of a run. Thank you, Spate. We run with you. We run backwards, forwards. Anywhere you want, we will run with you. We were born to run. I don't know where that comes from. Maybe I should just pass things off to Danny and just keep things going. We're getting close to the end, though. So I hope that you've had your fill, because this is the dessert. This is the dessert offering. Think of the next three people offering up stories as the dessert tray, and you get to have all three.
Hello, hello. Danny Dwyer here, early on a Sunday morning. And you can tell, this is probably about the seventh or eighth time I've tried to record this, so let's just try to get through this in one shot, okay? Before I do, come visit me at my WordPress page, dannydwyer.wordpress.com. And now, my entry for this week's challenge, number 415, Run. Hey, AJ, I hear you're going to run for Congress. That's right, Fred, AJ replied. Just got back from my meeting with Sheldon Adelson in Vegas last week. All I have to do is make a public apology for calling Clive Bundy a freeloading racist, and Adelson will give me a $5 million campaign contribution. Fred, in shock, responded, But Clive Bundy clearly is a racist. He stated an entire segment of people would be better off as slaves. Yeah, I know, but if you want to get elected in our district, I must run as a Republican, and that's who we cater to. And that's my entry this week. Please visit me, dannydwyer.wordpress.com. Have fun.
Let's also give him a basketball team. Ta-da! Okay. Honestly, I don't give a crap about the L.A. Clippers. And the less people go to basketball games, the more people go to college, I think. We should not be supporting these so-called student athletes becoming professional athletes, and then they spend all their money on bling and crap, and then they go bankrupt. But, you know, we should get them real jobs, like engineers and doctors and attorneys and philosophers. We could have a whole arena full of philosophers. How does that sound to you? That sounds like heaven to me. Heaven! Heaven with fluffy clouds and harps and wings and three-ply toilet paper. Although, do you have to poop in heaven? I don't know. What I do know is that next up on the dessert tray is this wonderful, phantasmagoric, delightful thing by Singh. I'm not too sure what it is. It's this yogi, it's this madam. He's getting close to the end, he says. So let's find out how we're coming up to the station, how we're getting to the end of the line. Read to us, Singh, enlighten us in an arena full of philosophers. Sounds like falafel.
Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel in progress by Chris Munizing, Chapter 32. In this installment, Yogi and Amrik have taken a bus and are heading now towards the foothills of the Himalayas. They joined the bus on time. It kept on revving over long for India's perennial latecomers. Men well-turbaned, beards dyed, pressed and primped, and women in salwar kameez timelessly chosen. Amrik's beard was still just half an artwork, stuck with fixer and squeezed in a sling of cotton, compressing the chin and jowls till whiskers dried. In this bandana, he might have been an outlaw in a well-cut suit about to rob a bank. There were others like him, also running on time, sporting the chin bandana with one more strip across top lip to glue a twirled moustache. They entered two by two and in groups. None came sadhu solo like roaming yogi. Grisht ashram, household life, and their ideal followed Guru Nanak. He had two sons, the founder said, get married to nine more Nanaks. Amrik chuckled, fire and ashes, yogi? Family is the toughest yoga school. Amrik further elaborated how, among the Vedic sages, rishis wed and munis were only married to themselves. Guruji said, stay home, make your ashram. You are the temple, you are priest of it. Yogi remembered the paper in his pocket. Can we stop? I need to post a letter. They halted at industrial area phase two. While Yogi debouched, others went for snacks. Amrik sent a boy to bring a paper and soon was reading between the tribune's lines. Yogi was ever a source for staring eyes, a white agora, a foreigner in white chola with his rakish rishi locks and ragged beard. They rarely saw outsiders in Punjab, except at the Golden Temple, hours northwest. Perhaps one day he'd also go to visit. Soon the Hemkund travel tour's coach was skirting the edge of Chandigarh and charging 3 hours or so away to Paunta Sahib. Amrik was done, so Yogi flicked through the paper. Waist high, in wheat, on page one, Surdev Singh's hands are praising the monsoon. Election feature, page five. See the double V for victory fingers, the opposition BJP. The ad below? Government Congress Party symbol, a palmistry hand or Buddha's fronting the Indian flag. And tucked, corner right, Mohan Singh Khalistani is slain today, a police encounter. On page 11, Punjabi tourism, Bhangra dancers, goat skip with photo smiles. Ravi Shankar plays to standing ovation at the Tagore Theatre last night. Bridal highlights have been brought to you by Mendi Fashions, and a model shows off earrings, chin soft as a fawn, propped on her palm. Chapati mothers are cooking dough rounds in the Ludhiana regional section, and singing women throw up wheat chaff to dispatch the evil eye. Lakshman Singh, home from England, wears Manchester United t-shirt to milk his childhood buffalo, while a big red Mahindra tractor is shifting gears into new era Punjab agriculture, full-page advertorial. After the classifieds, thin labourers from Bihar are still weeding paddy in Amritsar. A Dalit woman steadies on her head a fertiliser sack with dermatitis hands. A farmer with cancer hides head in palms as tube well sucks up uranium and mercury. And Sachin Tendulkar, double century cricket god, on the back page waves bat like Durga's victory sword. The bus moved fast, heading across farmland through Zirikpur, Narengar to Kala Amb, meaning black mango, a village on the slopes. In these Shivalik hills, just on past Nahan, the bus began to pull hard up the road, winding python-esque through the terrain. Look there, quick! Yogi pointed to Amrik. It was a spotted deer and wet-nosed fawn. They'd stopped to nibble grass outside the tree line and blinked a timeless moment at the bus until it shifted through its clunk of gears. And the fleet-footed two evaporated back into the soul shadows of a never-was. The bus took daredevil chances on the down bends to test Punjabi courage. No one flinched. Yogi gripped his armrests, forcing a smile each time they switched direction on the slalom. Then Bhangra Pop attacked through the loudspeakers. A family with teens said, "Bale, bale," pointing exuberant digits to the ceiling as swaying bodies squeaked on vinyl seats. Finally, one grave sardar with flowing beard across the aisle asked for Shabad Kirtan. "This is a yatra, brother," he rationalized. "The toff-like Londoner, an NRI, non-resident Indian," thought Yogi. "Take care, uncle," yelled the turban driver. The kids kept quiet. The elder can't be challenged. Mellifluous voices climbed the raga ladder, matching sound with sense. London Singh kept beating time. Yogi tried to follow, as if drinking rare liqueur in the darkness. Heart had quaffed, intellect needed to join, molecules of meaning. Words bring ownership. As Amrit dozed, he leaned across the aisle. "Hi, I'm from Australia. Could you translate?" He sniffed the hippie sadhu up and down. London Singh was no longer from here. A math professor? He'd done well abroad and deigned to teach the straggly foreigner. Yogi jotted the translation in his journal, then shaped them into verses, passing the time. "You read with your mouth, not with your mind. Ram hasn't set up home in there. You tell the people, be firm, have faith. But come on, be honest, do you practice? Hey, pundit, it's time, dive into the Vedas. Busy yourself, house clean your anger. You've put down the stone god in front, but your mind wanders in 10 directions. You put the tilak paste on his forehead, then bow and scrape at the idol's feet. You try to fool the people, but are blind, giving lectures on the 6 systems, spreading out your cute white cloth, wearing a dhoti, color of a lion's skin. In rich houses, you are always busy reciting scriptures, telling your beads, then asking for your fee. Wake up, friend. You can't save yourself or save another. A real scholar? He takes up the shabad. Then the 3 gunas can leave the building. Nanak looks for the sanctuary of the one inside whose name the Vedas still reside." His version was new moss greening the stone. Not bad, thought Yogi, passing it over the aisle for prof's approval. He read,
"Yes, very good. But it can hardly match how Guru sang it. Gurbani is a piece of the formlessness, a hummingbird shard split off from the truth. It was cognized through the Guru's pen, not expounded by some follower. Sounding his word turns lead mines to gold. We recite and listen daily to become." "Yours isn't bad. You've caught some basics." There was praise here, but the praise was faint. Yogi let the professor attend his wife and hunted about the bus with dingo eyes. More Sikhs from Canada, Singapore, and Malaysia were chattering in the patois of diasporas. City-fied, they looked down on the rustics. Half wore turbans, others were shorn goats with beards shaved off, avoiding the guru's code. Most men were western-dressed like Amrit Singh. Farmers wore cotton kurta pajamas, virtuous for old age or the born again. Families, picnic-packed with rowdy kids, proved the Indian tolerance for whiners. A Sikh masala, the middle-aged and zealous, were clubbed in groups, pining for mild adventure. Amrit woke up.
"Santaji, how are you?"
There was a hidden sarcasm in his tone, using that name. It had been there all along, but naivety had kept the yogi blinkered. The Sikhs that he had met were serious men. Their Mahabharata was the daily battle for bread, remembering Guru, doing some good. Ideas were dead on the vine. They needed land. The more he saw, they seemed volatile, ready to bungara now or to be stern, clearly measuring others by their works. Flowing hair and joblessness? Just weakness. Yes, holy men in robes were mostly bogus. "I'm fine," he said. So why had Amrik brought him? Yogi felt cornered. A battle was beginning. To see the jobs, just close your eyes and shrug off paths you didn't take. So many ways to fall, not rise. He'd thought the office jobs unwise. Boredom feared some big mistake. To classifieds he'd closed his eyes. He thought investment paths were lies. The cycle of earn to eat more cake was a dead man route to fall, not rise. Having no debts, you have no ties. Avoid the shackles, avoid what's fake. He'd hit the road, but shut both eyes. He'd learned to drift and improvise. Her love for him forced him awake, but she had to let him fall, not rise. The promise of inside was the prize, like trekking to the snowy lake. Would glacial glare now blind his eyes? His way ahead might fall or rise. You've been listening to Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel in progress by Chris Mooney Singh. Do join me next week for another installment. If you'd like to check out more of my work, go to my website at chrismooneysingh.com or follow the link in the program notes. See you next week.
There's more! Yay! We're still going on an adventure. Isn't this exciting? Thank you, Singh. Ooh, what's going to come next week? What's going to come next week? What mystical, magical madness? Love? Fate? Pancakes? Perhaps. You know what comes next? That's right. The 20th author this week. Planet C. We're back to 20 authors a week. We're back there. We're back to there. We'll never get to 111 like we were with that Relay for Life, but we're not going to go down that road again. I just, people were writing a whole bunch of the, oh my God, and 100, and oh, thank God I read a story. And then they'd send it in and it would be like, did you just throw magnetic poetry at the wall? Maybe they did. Maybe that's how they get creative. That is for their creative endeavors. They should be praised for it, but really try to tell a story. Tell a story. Bring us on an adventure. This is an adventure. Planet Z.
Madness when the season is coming to a close. November rivalries, conference championships, bowl games. Dumping the Gatorade on the head coach and the team hoisting the quarterback on their shoulders is cliche. Where's the spirit in that? Look across the field. The mascara on the cheerleaders' faces runs down their cheeks. No sleeves to wipe it away, so the trainer brings them towels. Or the star player sitting alone, exhausted and defeated for all the scouts to see. He won't even be a third rounder now. The goalposts come down, and someone will have to put him up again.
Okay, everyone, there you have it. A whole bunch of stories on the topic of run by a whole bunch of people and a whole bunch of you listening and hopefully commenting and convincing Cliff that we will all stand with him against the cult. The cult. Anyway, one a day until the day I die.com. Next topic is going to be Star Wars. We had a great time this week, didn't we? It was wonderful. It was fantastic. We met good friends. We said goodbye to some folks who never come around here anymore. But hopefully everyone will come back one day, and it will be a really big file. Until then, thank you for listening, and as always, keep it brief.